KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a mostly clear sky, and it's 71 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today with a chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms, a high of 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. Officials at the Iowa DOT said Tuesday that due to rising water levels from western Iowa rivers, the Iowa Department of Transportation is anticipating that Interstate 29 will close due to water over the roadway near Honey Creek, the area at the milepost 66 north of Council Bluffs, and that's expected sometime later in the day today. The DOT says they don't expect the flooding to significantly impact travelers on I-29 this morning, but are closely monitoring the situation and may have to close the interstate before the afternoon commute. With the changing river levels, this dynamic situation could change significantly in a short period of time. Travelers should pay close attention to 511IA.org for updates and plan their afternoon and evening trips accordingly. If I-29 does close, traffic heading north will be detoured using eastbound I-80 to the northern segment of westbound I-680 and then back to I-29 at Loveland. Southbound traffic will head eastbound on the northern section of I-680 and take I-80 westbound to reconnect with I-29 and Council Bluffs. Relying on your phone or in-vehicle navigation systems, the DOT says, may not be reliable since change closures can happen rapidly and navigation systems can route traffic through areas that are not designed for larger vehicles or heavy traffic. Southwest Iowa officials this week are warning residents who have returned to areas that flooded this spring to be ready to evacuate as heavy rains upstream make their way down the Missouri River Basin. Fremont County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cresselius.
They should be prepared to leave at a moment's notice just in case. Don't wait till the last minute. Have stuff ready in case we do have to tell you to get out again. I know people don't want to hear that, but that's the nature of what we're dealing with here.
Cresselius spoke with the Army Corps of Engineers this week about repairs to local levees damaged by this spring's flooding.
They are fairly confident that the repairs that they have made to the levee will withstand the amount of water that we're supposed to have down here by Friday. My concern is what happens if we have more rainfall in the local area or just north of us, then that's going to change things.
Cresselius says this latest flooding threat comes as the county is slowly recovering from previous events in March and late May.
Some of those people haven't even been back in their houses yet because we got to get the roads repaired for them to get back out there, and in some places there's still water.
Areas west of Hamburg and Bartlett-McPaul vicinity have the greatest risk for additional flooding as they're still mostly underwater. Mills County is also on high alert because of flooding. Mills County Emergency Management says elevated Missouri River levels will cause increased flood risk for the southwest portion of that county. Officials say exact effects of the river's level, though, are hard to determine, so extreme caution is advised. Some residents in northwest Pottawatomie County have been warned to watch the rising Missouri River.
Fortunately, this isn't anybody's first rodeo. We've been dealing with this since March. Many of these folks that live along the river also had to deal with this back in 2011.
That's Pott County Emergency Management Director Doug Reed. And, of course, we mentioned that Interstates 29 and 680 could be impacted by flooding. Reed says we anticipate losing some of our secondary road systems in the northwest part of the county as well with the threat to the interstate. So as that always, that means, he says, you might not be able to get back to your property, or if you stay too long, you might not be able to get out of it, or we may not be able to help you in a timely fashion should there be an issue. More than 10 inches of rain fell last week in areas of South Dakota. The National Weather Service forecasters say there hasn't been a day this month that rain hasn't fallen somewhere in the Missouri River Basin. And the Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold a special meeting at 3:15 p.m. on Friday in their boardroom at the courthouse. The purpose of the meeting is to consider applications for position of Cass County Engineer. Applicants will be interviewed at 3:30 p.m., followed by discussion about those candidates and offering of the position to one of the candidates. The position was advertised in trade publications and elsewhere September 4th, following the resignation last month of Charles Bechtold, who had been hired by the county in April of 2016 and began as county engineer here in July of 2016. The position requires an Iowa-licensed professional engineer. Salary will be in the range of $90,000 to $110,000, depending on qualifications and experience. A full benefits package is included. In our funeral announcements, Michael Lemke, age 27, of Panora, died September 9th. Funeral services for Michael Lemke will be today at 10:30 at Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Geraldine Jerry Odell, age 78, who's formerly of the Griswold and Atlantic areas, died Saturday. Funeral services for Jerry Odell will be today at 11 o'clock at the Griswold Central Church of Christ. Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Judy Paulson, age 76, of Denison and formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday. Graveside services for Judy Paulson will be today at 11 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Laverne William Goody, age 83, of Guthrie Center, died Friday. A funeral mass for Laverne Goody will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. John Bruns, age 57, of Greenfield, died Saturday. A celebration of life for John Bruns will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Larry McClelland, age 82, of Greenfield, died Saturday. Funeral services for Larry McClelland will be Friday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Irene Sequoy, age 97, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday in Guthrie Center. The funeral mass for Irene Sequoy will be Friday at 2 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Albert Peter Pete Stein, age 70, of Portsmouth, died Sunday. A celebration of life service for Pete Stein will be Friday at 7 p.m. at St. Mary, Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church in Portsmouth. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home has the arrangements. Loretta Grasty, age 86, of Greenfield, died September 11th. Funeral services for Loretta Grasty will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. John Sturdy, age 86, of Fontenelle, died Monday. Funeral services for John Sturdy will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Marvin Lynn McCool, age 92, of Atlantic, died Tuesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Marvin McCool will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby. And Mary Ann Holt, age 93, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Friends and family of Mary Ann Holt will gather Saturday at 3 o'clock at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Atlantic for refreshments. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.